Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I am Joe Masato, joined by my good pal, Joel Lorenzi. Joel is in Brooklyn, New York. Joel, how is Brooklyn?
Boom, boom. You didn't record this the first time, so my ad-libs don't hit the same, but Brooklyn is fire, bro. This is like my second home. Every time I'm here, like, I go straight to get the slices. I got the beef patty next to me with the cheese. Like, it's up. And I was telling Joe the first time we recorded this, I feel like saying, like, Alicia Keys. And then there was a pause, and I had to think to myself, like, with anything I ever referenced, Joe, do you know who Alicia Keys is?
Of course. Alicia Keys is a legend. I know the New York song.
I would hope so.
No One, that's Alicia Keys. You know that? You don't even know. What do you mean by beef patty, by the way? What are you referencing?
You don't know what a beef patty is?
Like a hamburger? Joe,
don't disrespect me like that, bro. Don't disrespect New York like that or Jamaicans. A beef patty, well, okay. A beef patty, the concept isn't far from a burger. Like,
considering that a beef patty goes between buns and that makes it a burger.
Pete, though, look, the patty part of it is, you know, what encloses it. So I don't know if you ever had like an empanada. That's some Puerto Rican stuff, really some island stuff, period. But so it's kind of like that, but Jamaican. And so it's like, it's not like a actual patty like they slap on a burger. It's almost like sometimes people do it like mush beef, like it almost never comes as an actual circular patty, but it's just beef in there and then it's enclosed by the breading and they call it the beef patty. And then when you tell them to open, they can open it up, they can put whatever in there. And then most people just put cheese and whatever in there. I just put cheese. So
I feel really uncultured because now I'm looking this up and it looks really good.
It's amazing. It's a Jamaican like thing too. I don't think there are Jamaicans in OKC, so I don't think I would expect you to know that.
It's the number one fast food in Jamaica.
It's elite. It's a staple.
Yeah, sorry, I'm distracted because I'm reading about
these.
Looks
like he's drooling over it.
I don't think we do have a big Jamaican population, but I do think that Oklahomans, it's a big beef country around here, Joel. I think we could make beef patties.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's got to be some Jamaican restaurant. If I could find, if any of our listeners know a good Jamaican spot in OKC, put me on. I'll take Joe there. I'm sure they have beef patties. We'll indulge.
We'll do a podcast live from
beef patty. You talk my language. This is what they brought me on for. Our two brains together, it's unfathomable what we can do.
But before we get to basketball, I reluctantly ask this question. And if the answer is yes, don't go into great detail. But did you visit a certain establishment that serves wings in Atlanta yesterday?
No, I didn't have the time. I wish I did. I would have did a whole oral history of my entry to the wings to... Let's stop.
Our guy Chris Kirchner did that story. Actually, I think did an oral.
Yeah, I probably couldn't top what Chris did. It would have been a personal experience for me. I'm not really a club guy anyway of any variety, to be honest. Like, I know between the two of us, I might seem like the party animal or something, but I'm really not.
Yeah, I'm a big club guy.
Right. Yeah. Like Nino Brown.
Yeah, like Nino Brown.
You wouldn't even know who that is, damn it.
Moving to basketball. Hawks beat the Thunder 141-138. This was a game in which the Thunder was a little, you know, slow to get going in this one. They were late in arriving to Atlanta, seemed to have some plane trouble, and arriving to the basketball proceedings. But then at the end, they got a great look to tie the game and send it to overtime. But Isaiah Joe misses the shot. The Thunder lose 141-138. What was it like there in Atlanta?
Yeah, a few things. For starters, you know when people say, like, oh, this game is drunk. Like, I don't think the game was drunk. But OKC definitely looked drunk to start, right? Like, the starters, I don't even know if this was just the starters. I think the starters were 2 for 14 in the first quarter. Really not great. I mean, they didn't score a field goal for like 5 minutes straight. It was free throws, if anything. There was like three turnovers in that stretch. Chet looked bothered. Shea's spots weren't his spots for a while. They just looked different and probably altered by the late arrival, like you said. And also, we should probably bring up how weird that 20-minute stretch was, or whatever that was, with the reviews and all that. Like, from where we were, I didn't even know it was a Jalen like exception thing until I go on Twitter and the people who are listening to the broadcast are saying that. Because from way up where we're sitting, we don't know. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that where like players are just standing around like stretching, the coaches are pacing back and forth. It just became this whole debacle. Like, that was wild.
That was probably, I don't think last year we ever had a moment where the Jalen thing caused more confusion than it did last night. And we were lucky, those of us watching at home on the broadcast, because Nick Gallo was sitting, you know, courtside at the score table. So when the ref would come over, it was Zach Zarba, I think, he'd come over and sort of explain what was going on. Gallo could hear him. So he was sort of relaying that information to us. And now the discrepancy was whether or not they'd given a wrongly recorded a foul on Jay Will instead of Jay Dove or vice versa. I don't even remember. But it took incredibly long in the year 2024 to figure that out.
Yeah, that was wild. And I don't know, man. That was so weird, just sitting there having to endure that. And even the people in the arena were like getting unsettled. Like, it was super weird. But the basketball, you would have thought the basketball would take a hit. But I mean, that third quarter was like the Thunder really came around. You started to see flashes like, hey, like, can we shave this lead down? And it became from like 20 to 10, like, we're still in the game. And then obviously, like people, the way people talked about that game in hindsight was interesting to me, because it was like the Thunder has done this a couple times where there's a game where they're probably down much of the game, or for a lot of that fourth quarter. I think back to one of the games in Sacramento, maybe both, where they ended up having a chance to win at the very, very end off, you know, a quick burst. But before then, like, it was probably Sacramento's game. And that's what yesterday felt like. And I think there, people quickly forgot how a lot of that game went, because Shea scored 9 points in like a minute and a half. But before then, like, Atlanta had did some things. Like, they were super efficient, 33 free throws, made 31 of those. Trey had them dudes in hell, like, just the constant pressure on the rim, the ability to he's masterful at just selling that contact. Mark said he thought a lot of those were fouls. I don't know if he believes that or not. I believe that. But they had them in hell, man. And it wasn't just Trey. Like, all those dudes were getting the trip to the line. You think of the front court, they're putting pressure on the rim, on the glass. They're getting rebounds. I thought in that fourth quarter, the way they started rebounding, it was like, okay, well, they can wrap this up. But Shea, you know, with things with Shea, Shea magic, man. Shea butter is just, it's never over, I suppose. And then they, like you said, they got a great look at a ATO. I mean, it was a great draw, dude. Like, I think, you know, I think it went about as well as you could expect without a make. I mean, the decoy from J-Dub works perfectly. It draws Trent Forrest's attention, who isn't looking when Dub, you know, sees a drifting Isaiah Joe toward the corner. And that's a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the shots Isaiah Joe has taken and made this year, that feels like one of them he can make. And maybe it becomes a little tougher as he's drifting, like, closer to behind the backboard. But I didn't have a doubt in my mind that he could make that shot. It didn't fall. But I don't think – I was a little confused about some of the discourse because, yeah, like, they found a way – to have a way to tie the game. But I thought maybe that might have been just an indictment on Atlanta because of the Shea run. I mean, mm-hmm. The Thunder for a lot of that game was not better than Atlanta. So,
yeah, with like 4 minutes left, well, I mean, for much of the game, it looked like the Hawks were in control. But DeJounte Murray made a three. It was around the 4 minute mark. And I was like, this is over. And then they just claw right back into it, setting up that game tying attempt. And who knows, maybe they. Even if it goes in, maybe they lose in overtime. But it seemed like a classic schedule loss, and it started out that way. But it's not like the Thunder just kind of gave up down the stretch, which is what you see sometimes. One thing a lot of people had questions about, and this became like, I don't know if it became a big deal. It seemed to be a big deal on Thunder Twitter. Kenrich Williams not playing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mark said that the plan was for him not to play. It wasn't like rest related. They just wanted to get a look at other guys.
Right. Yeah. He said that coming into the game, he knew he probably wasn't going to go to Kenrich. He probably wasn't going to go to Micic. It was not so much a rush thing as much as it was just wanting to get other guys involved is basically what he alluded to. He mentioned Jay Will. He mentioned Aaron Wiggins, who has had some recent DNPs. I know a lot of people like what he offers. And then he mentioned Lindy, which I think had people in an uproar because if you think back to, I think, one of those Sacramento games, matter of fact, Lindy had played a big range of minutes. And obviously people are going to have their gripes with Mark's rotations and, you know, some of the decisions he makes, like, you know, Trey Mann playing one game and then not playing the next however many, or Micic playing two games here and then not playing and whatever. I mean, you can't say we're surprised by this, right? Like, he's made similar decisions. Now, it's a little more confusing with Kenrich because he is an actual fixture in the rotation. He's like the eighth man or so. He's really been, in terms of a backup big man presence, being able to stretch the floor, you know, the physicality, like, he's been that. So it was a little confusing. But I thought, for what it's worth, they lost that game well before, you know, Kenrich, and they looked out of that game before Kenrich could have, you know, whatever, would have came in. Maybe you could certainly argue that his minutes would have changed the outcome of that game. But like I said, like, that game didn't change till there was a minute and a half left, and that was Shea's run.
Yeah, like, I think we're putting I love Kenrich. He's a heck of a player, but, like, we're putting too much stock into that if you think that was, you know, the reason the Thunder might have lost. I also think it's not a coincidence, and I know what they said about rest, but Micic and Kenrich on a very young team are two of the guys that, they're not old, but, you know, they're 30. I don't know, maybe you don't play them second night of a back-to-back after a long night. I liked seeing Lindy in there. It's cool to me just still seeing Lindy and Trae Young on the floor together, having played together at Norman North in high school, and one guy, you know, was always headed for stardom. The other guy was like, yeah, he's a decent player at Oklahoma State, but never, I mean, that's going to be it. And now they're both on a NBA floor together. So I think it's cool. You're smirking, so you're not putting up with any of my nostalgia here.
It sounds like a Disney storyline, first of all, but second of all, Lindy, I think there were two points to be made about this whole fuss last night with Kenrich. One was that people's expectations have changed about this team. One, because I think reasonable people by now should know that Mark is going to try things this early in the season. Who knows when that will end, when we reach that point where he's like, okay, I've seen how this guy and this guy looks together. I've seen how this guy looks for a long stretch. Maybe I can ease that back or whatever, dial some of that back. I don't know that now is the time, but people's expectations have probably understandably changed after that December stretch where they're beating all the elites of the elites. And you're seeing this team's aspirations kind of change right in front of our eyes. So I think, you know, seeing your backup big and your eighth man, arguably your heavyweight guy off the bench, not play, was probably frustrating for fans, which I understand. I think
I don't understand it. Like, this bothers me, because if you're griping about rotations, gripe about something else, because no one thought this team would be anywhere close to this good. And they've been this good. I'm not saying because of the rotations, but they've been this good, and this is what they've been doing. So, like, if you're, I don't think it is going to change. Now, in a playoff series, sure, it's going to get whittled down a little bit. It's going to become more matchup oriented. But throughout the regular season, I think the Thunder thinks this could be a competitive advantage. They've talked about this a little bit, how some teams are set, they're going to play a nine-man rotation. The Thunder's going to play an 11-man rotation, and it's going to be a different 11 guys every night, basically. I think it's a way to keep guys involved, you know, over the course of a long season. I think it's a way to keep guys rested and a way to experiment. So that argument bothers me, because it's like you're arguing with the guy that, if the season ended today, would be the coach of the year.
Possibly. When I say I understand some of the gripes, I think I understand because it fits into that bubble of people who are like, this is the championship window. And while I don't agree, I can see why people want instant gratification and want everything now, because the team looks as serious as it does. They've done some really great things recently. You probably want to see your eighth man out there. And it's easier to say after the game finishes and you lose by 3 points and Shea does all that. But like I said, before that run, like, I don't know how much he would have changed. I mean, they were just out of it, man. And mm-hmm. so that I only understand it to a degree. But like I said, and like you mentioned, we should come to expect this by now. It's not going to change either.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has been going on for a while. So the Thunder with the loss, they were 9-1, right, against the East going into that game.
Yep. So,
Nine and four
on the road, I believe.
Yeah, they were 9-4.
Which was, I believe, as of last week, was the best road record in the league. I don't know if that changed. And by the way, Atlanta was 4-9 at home. Super bad before that game.
Yeah, that's crazy. What was the crowd there like?
I don't know that I was paying attention mid-game, but I would say as the game was about to tip off, I'm like, yo, this thing could fill up some more for sure. But it was a Wednesday, and I don't know if they've been great. I don't know what even their crowd is usually like, but it didn't seem crazy to me.
So to put a bow on this, the Thunder is now 23-10. They have an 8.1 net rating, third best in the NBA behind the 76ers and the Celtics. Fourth are the Nuggets at 5.7%. I wrote a little bit about this today, but basically anything above a 6 net rating is elite. The Nuggets net rating last year was in the 3s. Now they were a dominant postseason team, so that's not always reflective. But the Thunder right now has the profile of a championship team. We've talked about this a lot. Like, they're likely not, because they're young and they haven't done it mm-hmm. before. They're not battle tested, but they're playing about as well as they can in the regular season. Joel, are you ready to do some gambling?
No, you know I hate gambling.
No.
I hate gambling, bro. I would literally smack anybody that tells me, oh, make a PrizePicks account so I can get some free bread. Like, no, this, get on my face.
This is,
that was very specific, by the way, but it's happened.
This is fake gambling.
I know it's fake gambling. I just don't like the concept.
I put together, anyway. Well, we're going to do the concept, okay? So I put together a list of over-unders, and they're not from any betting service. They're from the Joe Masato, my noggin, straight from my noggin.
Here we go. Nothing but a disaster coming.
So I put in a lot of prep work into this. Not really, but adequate amount. All right.
On something that's not college football?
This first one that we're going over is actually not from my head. It is from FanDuel, which...
You're a thief, right. Okay.
...sponsors many podcasts, but does not sponsor our podcast. So just getting some pre-publicity. I'm sure they need it. So the current win total right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook is 53.5. They've got the Thunder's number 53.5, which is a lot of wins, Joel.
That's a lot.
Going over or under? Will the Thunder finish over or under 53.5 wins?
Don't kill me. I'm going under. I think my number is probably like, and this is me, I don't want to say this is me being optimistic. This team's proved good thing. I'd say 51 is the number. I think they hit 50 at this pace. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're on pace for more, but I think you know, factoring in whatever random variables, I think they can hit 50, 51. That's my number.
Yeah, and that's a great number. I mean, I agree with
Joe.
I'm going under. I think that's fair. But again, I'm the idiot that has consistently underestimated this team, picked them to win 42 games. And it's kind of crazy to look back on. So if they're at 23 wins, one more win, they're going to match their win total from two seasons ago. So they would have gone from 24 wins to 40 wins last season to now FanDuel got them in the 53 to 54 range. That seems awfully high. So I am going to go under. Wait,
you're not getting out of this. What's your number, though? Give me a number.
I don't have to give you a number. I just have to over or under 53 and a half.
I put myself out there. I put a number out there.
I'm going to say 51.
You're such a... You can be original for once. Jesus Christ, though.
We're in lockstep. It just shows the chemistry we have.
Right, yeah. Okay. Magic and Bird.
Ready for another one.
Let's do it.
So this one is a collab with our good friend Daniel Bell, and I don't know if he had the number at this, but all-star events, not all-stars.
He asked me this. Damn, what was my answer?
I put it at 4.5. So I think 4 is a lock because Chet.
Shea's an all-star.
Hold on. Let me go. Chet, J-Dub, and Kaysen are all going to be in the Rising Stars game.
Right.
Shea's going to be in the All-Star game.
So really, we're just debating Isaiah Joe being in a three-point contest.
Chet, or giving Chet 2 if you think he's going to make the All-Star team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, so what's the line at? Is it 4?
Four and a half.
4.5. Damn.
You could also have something crazy, and like Shea is in like the skills competition.
Oh, brother! No, if you're doing that, get a life. I don't even think he would want to do that. Don't players have the option and say hell no to something like that? I don't think he want to.
I could see Chet doing that. Sometimes they have a big man do it.
But it's dope when a big man does it. It's great. Like I think I can remember Kat doing it, Kristaps doing it. Like it's low key cool when the big do it. You're a guard. Like that's like very uncool, low key. I would say no to that from Shea. If you're listening, Shea, hey, for your GQ profile.
Big time listener, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right, 4.5. I'm going to go over just because I'm a believer in Isaiah Joe getting the nod. And he's been adamant about, like, yo, if they ask me, like, I'm going to do it. And he thinks he'll be good in it. I think where I stand on the Chet thing, I think I've said this before, too. I think a player or two have to get hurt. Even though, like, the fan voting came out today and he was, like, 9th.
Yeah, let's go over this. Do you have it pulled up, the fan voting?
I can't have it pulled up. But he was 9th, and to my point, like, obviously, fan voting isn't everything, as you see with Klay Thompson being on the list and whatever, like, in 2024. And give me a break. But
they're fans, Joel. Give them a break.
Right, yeah, sure, whatever, fans. But because we have a vote and because coaches have a vote, I do think Chet will get some pull that way, especially if the Thunder continue to trend the way they have leading into All-Star break. I think it would be almost impossible if a guy gets hurt and the Thunder are still second seed-ish. I think coaches would maybe give him a nod, but I think it would take an injury. Or if there's two injuries, he's a shoo-in to me. Like, it's not even close. But I think it would take all that. Like, it's not a knock to him that he can't get it straight up. It's this front court is kind of deep. It's low key deep. And obviously there's a stipulation about rookies and, you know, whether they make games. But if we're asking, the spicier question is whether he gets an out over Vic. I mean, he kind of has to, right?
Yeah. I don't think that would be much of a I guess it would be a discussion, but he would get the clear nod in my head over Vic. So if we just, you look it out, the All-Star starters, 50% fan vote, 25% media vote, 25% player vote. if it was just the fans, the five starters in the Western Conference, it's three front court and two guards. So it'd be LeBron, KD, and Jokic, and then Luka and Steph. Shea is third among guards in the West. But I have to imagine, even if Shea stays at third among fan voting, he's going to be probably first and at worst second behind Luka in the media. And I think he's going to be first in the media vote. Player vote, I don't know how that's going to go. But I think he'll do enough in the player and media vote to maybe be a starter.
Is it players or coaches?
Maybe it's coaches.
I think it's coaches.
Okay, sorry.
And coaches for sure. You know what? It is players, I think. I think it is players.
Oh,
excuse me, Joe. But
win one okay. For the old man.
Yeah, yeah. But if it is players, like we talked about this, like I know Shea likes to post people on IG, but do people really have beef with Shea? Like Shea has no enemies, I don't think. Like that's like a fan made thing. Like he has no enemies. Like we said this last episode, he's not controversial at all. What does he do?
So do you think players would vote him first over Luka?
I mean, this dude's now a top two MVP candidate, right? Like, it would be kind of iffy not to put him in there. Like, we'd have to start pointing some fingers. Like, what's really going on? Like, on some wind horse stuff.
He does seem to have respect. I mean, there's, what, like 8.5 million player podcasts, current and former, and, like, there's always clips about, you know, Shea and stuff. So
yeah, I mean Shea Alexander.
I like Shea Butter. I don't think I ever wrote that, but that's pretty good. You know, he's pretty smooth.
I'm gonna write that, and I can't claim that as an original thing. I've seen that floating around on the internet, but it's a good name.
It is a good name. Maybe you should add that to his basketball reference nicknames.
It's better than some other nicknames we've seen this year on basketball reference. I'll leave it at that.
The only one might be SGA.
Yeah. And this is a discussion for a later time. Or now, but the nicknames, like somebody said this recently, but whenever the nickname started to just be people's initials, we got lazy as a generation, man. We got lazy as a people, dog. Like we like
SGA,
AD.
Though?
SGA is hard. But like
it's AD, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's cool, but I mean, variations of our names, like
what's your middle initial?
I really want to put this out there.
I'm not even asking. That's why I said initial, because I know some people don't want to say their name.
I have a middle name to where if I gave you my first initial, you're getting the name.
It's X.
You're just Sherlock Holmes in this show. Oh yes, it is.
Well, I just thought of your Twitter handle. JXL is pretty good.
It's pretty hard. Is that a mouthful though? Like, is that like could Mike Breen say, "Bang, JXL"? Yo, actually, no. Coming out of my mouth now, that is kind of tough. That is.
I think
tough.
JXL is good. Mine is JAM. Jam.
Whatever.
I don't think
JAM is not smooth, but Jam is like maybe you could twist that. You got like your aura is kind of like Joe Montana-ish, like you know, like. Like I think they could spin that back in the day, Jam. Like that would be fire. Like I could see that.
Anyway, what were you talking about? All-Star voting.
All-Star voting.
I think talked about it, right? So Shea is third among guards. Chet Holmgren is ninth among front court players. I think you bring up a good point in that we always see not necessarily opt-outs, but whether it's guys needing a break or injury replacement, stuff like that.
Especially in recent years.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Chet is on the short list if he doesn't get named to the team. You mentioned coaches. Coaches vote for the reserve. So once the five starters are selected, coaches will vote on that. I just don't know if coaches are going to want to vote in a rookie. I don't know if there's some stigma against that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. I know people are weird about that, but if there is a year to put in a rookie, it feels like this is one of those years. I mean, who was the last one? Like Blake, maybe? Did Blake make it as a pseudo rookie? I can't remember.
I think Blake did.
Which
is a similar case of similar to Chet. a guy that sat out a year.
So, I mean, and when you, because when coaches come to Paycom, whether it's that team's media or us, like, we're always, there's always questions about Chet and what other coaches think. I think just the novelty of Chet and everything that comes with him and how impressive he's been so early on. People just want to know what other coaches think. And I haven't seen one coach that just didn't give the due praise and like, oh, yeah, he's impressive and this and that. Like, coaches, it seems like there's a wide spread of coaches that just respect him. So I maybe that helps him. But in terms of the line, I'm going to go over anyway just because of Isaiah Joe, which so it feels like cheating. But I'm gonna include my two cents about the Chet thing. I mean, what do you say, Joe? What's your line? What are you betting?
I think it's over 4.5, and I don't think Isaiah Joe gets in.
Why though?
I don't know, man. So 3-point contest last couple of seasons.
You don't think he's flashy enough?
Didn't Dame win it last year? Am I making? I was there, and I don't even
remember. Dame, you said?
Yeah,
I think so.
It was in Salt Lake City. He went to Weber State in Utah. I think it was a big deal. Anyway,
Weber State's in Utah.
Yeah,
that's disgusting. And you know what? I'm pulling harder for Dame now and his legacy. That's crazy that he made it out of there.
Dame was what, second in the East, I think, among guards.
Yeah, second, which is probably some legacy bias. I don't know that he's been better than some of the guys that are on there.
I think I'd have Maxey and Brunson both ahead of Dame.
I like Maxey more for sure this year.
Your guy Derek White, eighth best among guards.
My guy. Me and JJ Redick are gonna have that one day. By the way, I'm not the spokesman for the anti Derek White All Star campaign, but I am like quietly like in the back raising my hand at the auction against his all-star bid. Like I just think that, I mean, you look at the list that's up there and maybe you can argue that the West guards are deeper than the top of the East guards, but I just don't know. As good as he's been, as important as he's been to the team with the best record in the league, I know we used it as criteria. I just wouldn't vote him in, man. Like based on all of that, I just think there are teams that are players rather that they carry heavier loads that are in similar situations, like a Maxey, like a Brunson. You know what I'm saying? So, sorry. And I just think it's funny that JJ has pulled for him so hard. I mean, I get it. That's like a ball knower. It feels like that's what it really is. Is a ball knower take? Like, oh, I watch Derek White and everything he does. Like he is an all star. I know ball. That's really what it feels like. And not to say JJ doesn't, but
Lillard, by the way, did win.
Yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, I should have said that.
Last year.
Joe, you were there. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really...
You weren't courtside with the VHS camera?
No, I was top of the lower bowl. I wasn't working that night, though, because I don't think the Thunder had anybody in All-Star Saturday night. I mean, I know they didn't. That's when Shea wore like that Oklahoma jacket, and I think that's what I wrote about. But anyway, I think it's going to be. I'm gonna say Chet is in the skills competition or something silly like that.
That's a new take, though. I give you some props. That's a new take. I haven't heard that yet.
And like, it's also a way of like he's gonna be there anyway, so then they don't have to ask someone else to go to Indianapolis during All-Star break. Okay, we got to move faster. Well, we've talked to you long enough. All right.
Ouch.
Over under. We're about a month away from the trade deadline. Over under 1.5 Thunder trades, and this could be small stuff, big stuff. Just 1.5 Thunder trades. Over under.
Under. I think if they do anything, I just watch the Wedgie on TV. Shout out campaign. I think if they do anything, I think it's one move. I think it's one move. I think we've gotten to the point we moved the dialogue along, and this is obviously my own opinion. But I think that we talked about this last episode about the dialogue just changing and changing with every elite win, with every week almost. And I think it's whittled down to a point, and I haven't gotten this impression, But it feels like they're I mean, it's always felt like they've been content with riding out this year. And so if you feel like your aspirations have changed and maybe you can do something more this year, and you want to get the best of both worlds and still see what the core of this team does, I think they make one move. And I don't think it's a seismic move. I think it's backup big or something, or maybe a guy that can close games for them, but is a reserve. Like, I think they can close in on one of those guys. They certainly got the assets. I'd say one of those moves happened. I don't think it's more than one.
Just for the sake of being a contrarian, I'm going to go over. I think...
Would you be a contrarian?
Yeah, I guess not.
You're contrasting me, but the general public...
That's true. I think, obviously, you look at the salaries of a Micić or Bertans. Those could be easily moved. I don't know if someone want... You know, what if someone offers the Thunder a second-round pick for Poku or Trey Mann, guys that aren't really playing, maybe something small like that. I'm also going to include the possibility, because we've seen this before, like the nerdiest trades in NBA history, where like the Thunder is just on the periphery of a trade, like changing future pick protections or something like that to get something to go through. So maybe we'll see something like that. I don't know, but I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be anything big, but I'll go over 1.5.
And they should probably weigh your opinion more than mine, because you've paid closer attention to more deadlines in your life than I have, at least from it was your job. Like, I when in past deadlines, I haven't paid nearly as close attention as you have. I think you know more about what goes into it. I think my knowledge is now just based on my pulse of the team right now from afar. Obviously, I'm not super.
From afar, you're the closest guy at this point to them. You're sitting in a Brooklyn hotel room. We're back.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. What was that?
I don't know. Okay, I'll flag this spot, and I will pick up right now. You ready?
Do we want to redo that question?
No,
we probably don't want to redo that question. No.
All right, Joel. A couple more. This is another small line because it's a small number. Thunder playoff series victories.
Ooh,
one and a half.
Putting me on the spot. Oh, man,
one and a half. So this is either, you know, you go under, they don't win a playoff series, or they just win one. Go over, they win two or more. I'll go first to take the pressure off you. I'm going to go under. Again, I don't want to be the guy who's always seems low on them, but I think they are going to win a playoff series. And that is a big win for this team. And I don't think it's, you know, I said this to someone the other day, maybe we said it on the podcast, but say the Thunder's the 2 seed against the Suns, who are a 7 seed, but the Suns are fully healthy. Like, the Suns might be favored in that series.
Which doesn't move me. I mean, I'm not moved by the fully healthy Suns, by the way.
It's hard to move you. Anyway, I do think the Thunder's win a playoff series, but given that they have no experience, playoffs are just tough, man. So I'm gonna be cautious on this one.
Yeah, I'm going under two. I do think, like, I think no matter the matchup, I think they can win their first round series. Obviously, some might be sleepers, some might be sitting at the bottom of the standings that probably shouldn't be there, kind of like you mentioned. But I think they can win at the very least a series by now. And then I think the second round series, let's say they run into Denver or something like that. And I won't even go off like getting to matchups and situations and stuff like that right now, because we're just so far away. But I think there are situations where they could hit a wall like young teams do in the playoffs. We've seen teams throw the kitchen sink at Shea, but I guarantee there are just whole other sleeves to be pulled up in the postseason in terms of what you can do with him, especially because this is the first postseason where he would be a first option for him in his career. There are just things there. I think with the way they use Chet, I won't get into a ton here, but I do, and I have mentioned this recently, but Giddy too, like he's shooting well recently, but closer to the postseason, like if teams have to make business decisions or they really, you know, throw different looks at him and stuff like, I still think that's a glaring spot for them to watch.
Yeah, and like he might have one hot game, but you gotta do it four times, you know. Right. And like series are just different. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I can't wait, honestly, just to see what this team does in the playoffs, to see them in that setting. Also, yeah, to see Mark Daigneault as a first-time playoff head coach. He was an assistant with Billy on that bubble team in 2019-20, but hasn't coached a playoff game. And I think, you know, he's a smart dude, and I'm curious to see kind of the chess match of whoever he's matched up against as well. Joel, we're going to finish with a silly one.
The by the way, when they are in the second round, I do think that whoever it is, I think they could take it to seven games or whatever. I don't think they're just a resounding second round out. I think they'll push whatever team that is, and be very close to the conference finals if they don't reach one. But I'm still going with
I'm not going to be floored if they're in the West Finals. It's crazy.
It is. Shout out Jalen Horde.
Last one, and it has nothing to do with Jalen Horde.
Right.
0.5 is the line. So I'm basically asking you, is there a future MVP on this roster? This season, Joel.
This is probably the easiest one. I'm going over.
Too.
Yeah, I think the better number, and you would have had to phrase it differently in terms of different players, how many different MVPs are on this roster, because I think that's the real discussion. If you think Chet can have that type of ceiling, I think it would have to be maybe on his own team. I don't know how that would work.
I mean, that'd be it. If you said over under 1.5 MVPs, I would definitely take the under, just because, like, it's hard to win MVP. But at the same time, at this point, would I be surprised if Shea and or Chet won an MVP in the future? No. I think it could happen.
But I take over, though. Shea, I mean, you said it. Shea has a good chance right now, if the season ends today, to win MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would take – I seen somebody yesterday in my comments say that it would take like 60 wins or something historical for him to get MVP, just because of the season Embiid's having. And why I'll laud Embiid for the season he's having, his best season yet. I just think you have to factor in the, not just the change in aspiration, but the leap from, you know, 2 years ago, like you mentioned, or, you know, like we always talk about with Jalen Horde and the Ty Jeromes of the world, to get to last year to play in, to then jump to a top three seed in the West. Like, at a certain point, that has to be part of his case, beyond just the 35-5 he's putting up every night on super efficient numbers.
Yeah, I mean, this, it really turns into a narrative award at some point, and you could build a pretty compelling narrative for Shea bringing this team from where it was a few years ago to now. And I mean, he's done an incredible job and made one heck of a leap. So I think we're both going over there. I mean, we're basically saying that we think either Shea or Chet is going to win an MVP, and you're saying that why not both?
And some would go as far to say, hey, maybe Dub on his own team one day and do it. I wouldn't go that far. I think he'll be an all-star maybe at some point. But MVP, I mean, that's a heavyweight award, man. I mean, you see the guys that are throwing in that discussion every year. So
I know it's nuts that we're doing this again, because like the one thing we said about this rebuild is it's not going to go as well as the first one. That was an anomaly. You don't have three future MVPs on your team and Durant, Harden, Westbrook, and there might not be three, but there might be two, and the third one's pretty damn good. So It's just crazy that they're back here, you know, a decade later. So thank you for indulging me in those over-unders, Joel. I'd say we did a good job.
You know I love gambling, Joe, of course.
All right. And with that, I'm going to leave you to eat a, what do you call it, a beef patty?
A beef patty. Don't do that. What are you calling it? Don't do that.
All right. Enjoy the beef patties. Enjoy the subway rides.
New York.
Enjoy
OKC and your plants that you have in every room, brother.
Times Square and just looking up at the bright lights and being in awe. A young kid from Omaha, Nebraska in the big city.
Yo, cut this off right now. No. Bye, y'all.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast. We'll see you next time.